So, pretty good weekend so far, right? Fellowship, interesting concept, right? Kind of interesting how God made that fellowship concept for us, but I think Todd pulled it out pretty good this morning, right? Our fellowship with one another through Christ is for us building up one another, being there for one another, and just being them roots that he called us, the roots that hold one another up when the other ones are getting wavy in the wind, right? And sometimes we need that. Sometimes life is hard. But my topic right now is fellowship and spreading the gospel. So there's a lot of different ways you could do this. You know me, I don't do it in a normal way. I don't. Nothing normal about me when I preach. Nothing normal whatsoever. But we're going to do evangelism. What's evangelism? Sharing the gospel. I like this because this kind of gives it a little bit different perspective. The actual definition is winning or revival of a personal commitment to Christ. That's pretty awesome. I like that. I've always told my wife, I will never preach a lesson without trying to elicit a response to Christ. I don't care what I'm teaching on. Somehow I'm going to tie it in to being response to Christ. Because why else are we here? There is no other reason to be here other than Christ. So why not try to elicit some response to Christ? Evangelism is a way of preaching and proclaiming good news that elicits that response. Are we doing that? Now you're going to say, well, now he's going to give me a lesson about preaching. Nope, not even close. You're going to be surprised where this sermon actually turns into. But I thought it was pretty good for me as well. But we're going to start in Matthew 9. We're going to start in verse 35. It's all about Jesus, right? Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Is that evangelism? He was an evangelist too. Jesus was our evangelist that we must try to be like, right? We want to be like Christ. We're Christians. We want to be like Christ. And he was healing every disease and sickness. Here is the key that I want to go on today. When he saw the crowds, what did Jesus have? Compassion. Can you be a good evangelist, a good Christian, without compassion? You cannot. You cannot. What is compassion? What is compassion? When I preach, it's open mic.
Giving something that maybe they don't deserve.
Okay. That's interesting, right? We always think of compassion as like sympathy, right? We always think of that kind of the same way. We feel bad for people, we have that kind of a soft heart for a person. But I think if that is the only thing that we think of, we have something gravely mistaken. Because the actual compassion is sympathetic consciousness of a distress. Okay, everybody would agree what that is, right? There's a key part of compassion that people forget about, with the desire to alleviate that. That means we have this feeling, we have this compassion, we have this sympathy. But that's not, we are moved to do something about it. That puts a different perspective on compassion to me. So if I see a guy struggling over here, and I just feel bad, then I move on, do I have any compassion for him? No, I don't have compassion for him. I have sympathy. Two different things. We're supposed to have compassion like Christ had, right? So when Christ had this compassion on those, he saw the crowds and he had compassion on them. Why did he have compassion on them? Was it just that he saw people just looking like they're gross people or something? No. They were being harassed, the scripture says, and they were helpless. And they were without a shepherd. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They were lost. He had compassion. What did compassion drive Christ to do? He did something about it. He did something. He just didn't think about it. He did something about it. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. Do you think the harvest is plentiful in today's world? I don't think you're going to find much of a time that it's not more plentiful than today. But the workers are few. Who here wants to be that worker that he's talking about? What must you have to be that worker?
Compassion.
Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Have you ever asked Christ to send you out to make more disciples? Have you ever prayed for that? Prayed for him to give you that chance? Prayed out, no matter where I got to go, no matter what I got to do, I'm going to go make disciples for you. Give me that. Show me that way. How many people have prayed that prayer? How many people would, if God showed you that, okay, I'm going to give you this opportunity to go South Alabama into the countryside, I'm going to give you this opportunity to go make disciples. How many people would drop everything and go do it if God gave you that chance? Something to think about. You don't have to raise your hand or nothing. Something to think about, right? But that, if you had true Christ compassion and you knew there was somebody suffering over there and needing you, what would you do? You would drop it and go. What did the disciples do when Christ said, drop everything and follow me? Dropped it. They answered the call. So who are the workers today? We are supposed to be the workers, right? I like putting the supposed to be the workers in there because are we all the workers that Christ has told us to be? Are we there yet? That's the question that we want to tackle today. He taught the good news because he had true compassion. Christ had true compassion because God is love. Christ was God, so he had the true compassion that we must judge ourselves against. Do we have the compassion that Christ had? Which he helped the lost find the truth. He wanted, yearned, but he acted on it. He acted on that. He just didn't think about it and sit on it. He acted on that compassion to help the harmed and the helpless and the harassed. So I was looking at this as our church, right? Is our church evangelistic? Is our church full of compassion that drives us to do stuff? So I went on evangelism.com. Can't hardly believe there's a .com on the internet, but like it's pretty hard to find. You can't find everything on Google. You can. Not true most of the time, but you can find it. So number one sign of a true evangelistic church is led by strong evangelistic people. What does that mean? That means they seek out opportunities to spread the gospel through services and chances to reach the poor and the afflicted. They don't just say they're going to do it. They go find ways to do it and make it happen. Because they have what? Compassion, because they actually do it. Now, if we thought about, we just say, yeah, we need to find opportunities, and 2 months later we don't find opportunities, do we have compassion or do we have sympathy? Sympathy. Two different things. We got to make sure we have the compassion that Christ has. Number two, a church with a lot of evangelism-centered people are continually spreading the gospel. Now, you got to judge this for yourself. Are we that people? Do we have a whole bunch of people here that go out and are on fire to spread the gospel and do it all the time? Number three, community involvement, making and taking. Not just making, not just think about making. They're making and taking opportunities to serve the community. They're doing it. They're following through what Christ did. They're actually doing it. Number four, portrays evangelism as exciting and not scary task. How many people do you think would think it's a scary task if you got 20 guys, 20 people, 20 ladies around you that are excited and going out and let's go do this? Would it be scary to join them? How about if you got 2 guys going, man, this is, do you want to join our thing? Now, following that, are you going to be scared? They're going to be scared because they're shoving scariness down you. So we must lead in a way that it's exciting, because when we go out and are doing this, spreading this evangelism, what are we actually doing? Who are we spreading? We're spreading Christ. Should we be excited about spreading Christ? Are you excited about Christ in your life right now? Yes. And what he's done for you?
Yes.
And what he's delivered you from? Yes. How can't you be excited to go share that with people? Especially the poor and afflicted that need something. Now, when you go, anybody's been in the Salvation Army with me, we go in there and we see people that have nothing. They're at the bottom. And if you're at the bottom, if you're on a concrete floor and you look down, you can't look anywhere, right? It's that, where's the only place you can look? They're looking for something. They're looking for something they can stand on that's firm and steady. Because their life, they got to be out of the building at 7 and they can't come back in at 4 and they just got to wander the streets all day. And then they come in and they sleep. They don't know if they're going to get beat up when they're sleeping or something else. Weird things happen down there. So there's nothing steady in there. Everything's just chaotic all the time. These people are looking for something solid. What do we have to share with them that is solid? Jesus Christ. The gospel. The good news. Compassion. So yeah. Let's make it not a scary task, but an exciting task. Let's make it a challenge. It's a challenge for us to go out there and be excited, because if you've ever, anybody here has been a salesperson, if you go in front of anybody and try to sell somebody in a mundane, blah, blah manner, you're not going to sell it. But if you're excited and you believe in your product and you push and say, this is an awesome, and here, I'll show you why, you're more apt to sell it. I hate to tell you that, but we are salesmen for Christ, is what we are. We use the product. We want everybody else to use it as well because it's so awesome. So that's a good way to look at it, right? That's the way I look at it. Number five has a set program for evangelism. These good evangelistic church has a set program for evangelism. Why would it be easier for a church to have a set program than just kind of blah, blah, we'll do whatever, whenever? If you have a set program, is it easier to follow than maybe I'll do it sometime? So I think that's a good idea. We might need to look at that here. Have a set program for a certain amount of things in a certain amount of time frame and follow through with them. And get in the groove of it, because you make a habit, it's a lot easier to stay in that habit, make a good habit, right? Number six, they love one another, not only in these four walls here, but in public. How important is that to be a good evangelistic church? To have the true love of a family when you go out and do things together. That's where we're going to go with this sermon. We're going to go to Acts 2, 44 through 47. You said we've used that a lot. We're going to use her one more time because this is probably the best example that I love. I just love this example. So in Acts 2, 44, what are we talking about? When is this time period?
Beginning of the church.
Beginning of the church, right after Pentecost, right? Right during Pentecost. All who believed and were together had all things in common. Is that awesome to you? Is that an awesome concept to think about? Just being one family and loving one another and just doing everything. It's awesome. And they were selling their possessions and belonging and distributing the proceeds to all, and any had need. So like we said yesterday, wouldn't that be awesome if you saw this group out in the public, they're selling their possessions to make sure that anybody in there is not in need. And you saw this from the outside group. What would you think of these people? I would think that's a pretty awesome group. I wonder why they're like that. Now, if somebody asks you that, what does that open up the door for? Here's the gospel. Here's the good news. Here's Christ. That's why we're doing this. And day by day, they were attending the temple and breaking their bread in their homes and receiving their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with who? All people. So do you think if they just did it inside their four walls, they would have favor with all people? That means people were seeing them do these things. They were doing these things in public, together, as a group. And they were seeing these things, and they were having favor with all people. That's pretty amazing to me, right? Now, if we're doing things out there in the name of Christ and we're bringing favor to all people, having favor to all people, do you think that's an evangelistic tool? Well, I can guarantee it is, because if you look at this, right after it says, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So I look at it as the more of these people did these things that people saw that were Christ-like, people were interested and they came and asked them about it and they converted more people. And more people were being added to the church because of these actions of love and compassion. So this right here, to me, is the true measure of a fellowship in a congregation. And it's a true measure of an evangelistic congregation. Do we have this kind of love for one another? If somebody was in big time trouble here, would you be willing to sell something really big so they were no longer in need? How much love do you have for one another? Would you lay your life down for one another? Would you do that? That's even a higher calling, right? One thing to sell something, but another thing to die for you. But if we are going to be like Christ, what are we going to do? We're going to say, yes, I will lay my life down for you, because what did he do for us? He laid his life down. Why? We were his enemies. So what greater love could we have for our brother and sister than to lay our life down for one another? Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. Jesus gave this command as well. This is not just an axe. Jesus actually gave us this command too, and he told us the same thing will happen in John 13. We go to John 13, 35 through 34. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. What's the first command? What's the greatest command of all?
Love.
Love your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. What's the second one? And he's given us a new one. That you love one another just as I loved you. How did Jesus love us? With everything. With everything. He gave up everything for us. That's how we're to love one another. That's a steep call. Just as I loved you, so you also love one another. By this, who? Does it say in there? By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have this love for one another. All people again. Jesus confirmed what Acts 2 just said. These people had, they're sharing the love that Christ had for them with one another. People were seeing it, and people were being converted. They'll know you are my disciples if you have this love. So if we don't have this love for one another, and we're out in the public, what are people going to not see? They're not going to see Christ. So when we're together, we need to have that love. And we go out, and we start sharing the gospel like I really want us to do. Be more evangelistic together and going out. Because we're not supposed to sit here. We're supposed to go out. This is where we're training session, right? Training session to go out and make more disciples. I would love to see us go out and do these things together. And if, when they see this love that we have for one another out there, that may help make new disciples for Christ. Because who are we doing this all for? Christ. For His glory only. So we need to follow His pattern. His pattern is for us to have the same love that Christ has for us. That's His pattern. That's His command for us. Remember, I just said, a new command I give you. This is not an option. This is not a request. This is a command that you love one another that the same way Christ loved you. That's pretty high still, but it's a command. You know, that's my lesson. But, you know, I got to say something else yet. I'm not done. So, now is the call that I told you right away. Right? Compassion leads to action, and the sermon is to elicit a response. So now I'm going to ask you, if you guys have been saved through Christ's blood and are struggling with something, right? This is the perfect time to come up. This is what we're here for. This is these roots that Todd was talking about. That's why we come up. And we say, this is what I'm struggling with. Can you pray with me? Can you hold me accountable? Can you hold me up while I'm struggling with this? That's what we're here for. We're also here if you've never made that commitment. People ask me, why did you do it? Why did you commit yourself to Christ? I go, well, I had no other option. I got to a point in my life where I said, I'm either going to keep going the way I'm going, which isn't working very good. I mean, I'm not in trouble. I never got in trouble or nothing, but there was just something missing, right? You have this thing that you're trying to fill in your life. You don't feel whole. And you keep throwing these things in the hole and it just like keeps dropping out. And it's just not, you're not complete. You don't feel complete. And I tell everybody, when I was finally made that commitment and when I was baptized, that hole went away. They go, well, explain it. I said, I can't explain it. This is that peace that is beyond comprehension to people that have not been saved. It's just, Todd would agree with this. He just said this. It's something in your mind and your heart finally connects. And you get a path. There's a path that you can see that you must walk. But it's not a path that's burdensome. It's a path of peace. And when you can lay down your head at night and say, man, if I die, great. Has anybody ever laid down at night and said, man, if I die, awesome, I can't wait? That's the way we're supposed to be. Because we know when we awake, we're going to be in the presence of Christ. And what better place to be in the bosom of our Savior that loves us so much that even while we're His enemies, He decided to come down and pay that ultimate price for us, His enemies. He wants you. He wants all of us. He wants the ones that have been saved for a long time that are just kind of floating through life and not really growing and not evangelizing anymore because they're tired. And he still needs you. He needs you to get on fire. He needs you to go out and spread this gospel. If not going and preaching on the corner, just live your life and give God the credit anytime you possibly can in front of man. Mm-hmm. If you deny Him in front of man, He's going to deny you in front of His Father. So if you do something good to somebody, say, this is only because of Christ. There's no other reason I'm doing this but because Christ loved me before anything else. If you need help with that, we can pray with you. We can actually help you with that. That's something that humans can help with, is learning how to give thanks. But if you're struggling spiritually, you don't know where you're at, you haven't been saved yet, I learned when I found out that I really needed Christ, I waited about 10 minutes. I told Josh, you got 10 minutes to get somebody up here. I ain't waiting any longer. That's because I understood that Christ was the only way for me to be whole and be back with God. And it's not burdensome. That's what I think a lot of people think is burdensome. It's not. It's freeing. It frees you. It just releases everything that's been bound upon you, right? If you're heavy burdened, lay it at His feet. And it's not anything hard. He's made it very easy for us to do. I just love Christ that much because He's saved me. He made me a new person. And He still... It's not like you're going to be baptized, you're going to be perfect. You're never going to be perfect. But when you're baptized, you're finally forgiven of those sins and you're given a path back to God. And then God will help you transform to the person that you need to be. And we're here to help that too. And hopefully we're leading in a way that shows you that, right? Right now is the perfect time to come up if you have any need. If you want to give your life to Christ, this is the time.